WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, NHRA fans. Welcome back. I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. Now, I would imagine a lot of you are first-time listeners searching the vast interweb for something regarding the sport of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, and maybe you have logged on to WFO Radio for the very first time. Well, if that's the case, you're in the right place, and hopefully we can keep you hooked right through the winter, right through testing in January, and then on to the 2015 season. This show this week, absolutely incredible. We have got Fast Jack Beckman, the 2012 NHRA Funny Car Champion in the Mellow Yellow Series. He's got two new crew chiefs for 2015. You might have heard of them, Jimmy Prock and John Medlin, leaving John Force Racing, going to be crew chiefing for Jack Beckman. What does he think? Talk about a change from 2014 to 2015. Jack Beckman going to talk all about it on this show just minutes from now. Also on the show, one of the big rumors in 2014 was that Dave Connolly was going to leave Pro Stock and go to Top Fuel with Bob Vandegrift Racing. That proved to be true. We spoke with Bob a couple of months ago. We're going to speak with Dave now that he's got several runs under his belt there in West Palm Beach, Florida, doing a little bit of testing with the Top Fuel Dragster. What's it like? We're going to talk to Dave Connolly about it. I can't think of a more experienced driver to tell us about Nitro and Top Fuel and what it is like. So Dave Connolly going to be on the show. Oh, by the way, he finished third in the world in Mellow Yellow Series Pro Stock. So we'll throw that in there as well. Also on the show, Auto Club Finals winner Morgan Lucas. That's right. We will track him down no matter how long it takes. He's getting ready for PRI. He flew with the Thunderbirds. All kinds of stuff going on at Morgan Lucas Racing. We're going to catch up with Morgan just minutes from now. So get in, sit down, hold on, get ready. WFO is about to take off. And we start them all off the same way, except for last week. We didn't start them all off the same way. But this week, he is back. He is back from Africa. How many times am I going to say that? The voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhart. Alan, welcome back.
Hey, Joe. Great to be back. Starting a new string, I guess.
Yes, you are back. Bigger and better than ever. Except, it seems that you lost a dinner roll to a baboon. How did that happen?
He decided he wanted to come have breakfast, and they don't ask up there. They just come and intrude. But it was... That was kind of an interesting deal. They told us getting there that that happens from time to time, and sure enough, they just ran on the deck and basically grabbed what he wanted and took off and headed the other direction. So there was Africa's full of wildlife, let me tell you, and we had lots of opportunities to see and not so much to interact. That was one of the big interactions, but we got at least close enough to take some really cool pictures and see some amazing stuff.
Operation Appreciation, the blog that you have been writing for the folks at Summit on all cylinders, the auto blog powered by Summit. We have shared it on our Facebook page, and you have done multiple posts. Very cool. Looked like you were very busy, though. This did not come across as a leisure. It looked like you guys were on a very tight schedule.
I was definitely not a vacation. It was, you know, get up and fly someplace and go to an airbase and visit with either the soldiers or the sailors or, you know, whatever the military personnel were based in that particular part of the world, and pack up and head to the next one. We did have a couple of opportunities to sneak in some personal side trips. Got an opportunity to see the Bahrain racing circuit, which is amazing. Had an opportunity to go do a little hiking and check out some zebras and some crocodiles and a couple other things on the way. But, you know, the reason for the trip is to show appreciation to our folks in uniform that are around the world and serving and looking out for our interests. And that was, you know, I've been listening to the guys tell stories about it for years, and it was really a life-changing, just a very rewarding thing when, you know, you see these men and women that have made such sacrifices and such commitments to the country. And, you know, we go over there just to say thanks, and they're thanking us profusely for stopping by to visit. It's like, man, you guys got it wrong. You know, we're very grateful for the opportunity to do that and very grateful for what they do and the fact that they, you know, share a little bit of their world with them and get to see some pretty cool stuff. So it was an amazing trip. I've still got a couple installments to go with the blog, so stay tuned over there. And it was really an amazing, amazing trip. I think it's going to take me a couple of days to digest it, especially considering the fact that I was 34 hours in the air to get home yesterday, and now I'm back on the road again already. So once I get settled a little bit and just kind of put it all together, it was pretty amazing.
Wow, very cool. I can't wait to hear a little more of the debrief. Of course, Jason Lyon, Greg Anderson, Eddie Krawick, Andrew Hines on board, Bigfoot. That is very cool, Dan Runte. And obviously, reading the blog, great, but were you able to encounter any NHRA fans? Were people in the service over there fans of what you do?
Oh, there were a number of NHRA fans. You know, your basic cross-section. There were also a number of NASCAR fans, a number of car guys, and a number of folks that, you know, didn't really know what we were doing or what we were into, but, you know, wanted to stop by and say hi. At every stop on tour, the drivers did a meet and greet session, autographs. They had some giveaways and some stuff for the troops. At almost all of them, and it was kind of depending on the installation, we would go by various places and visit with the guys in a little bit more of a one-on-one atmosphere. You know, we went and met the guys that keep the helicopters in the air over in Djibouti. We went to, I don't know if it's top secret, but not an off-the-beaten-path installation in Bahrain, where there's only about 45 people stationed there, but we got an opportunity to go out and visit with them and see them. And it's really a jam-packed schedule. It's not a vacation by any means, and the guys really look forward to it. And as I said, it's kind of a life-changing experience. Over the course of the next few weeks, maybe we'll have some more time, we can talk about it in depth. But it was pretty special, and I'm still kind of absorbing it all.
Can't wait. Very good. I'm glad you went there. You're also a very good storyteller in your blogs. I recommend it to everyone. Now, you mentioned you're back in Indy. PRI is this week, the Performance Racing Industry Trade Show. Once again, a very big thing in the world of motorsports.
Well, if you're into motorsports, PRI is the trade show. SEMA, that just took place in Las Vegas a month or so ago, is bigger from a footprint standpoint, but SEMA is everything automotive, and PRI is just hardcore racing stuff. You know, obviously, racing is what I do for a living. So when I go to PRI, the folks that I need to talk to, the folks that I want to interact with, and, you know, a number of guys that I'll deal with on the phone or via email throughout the course of the year, it's nice just to go say hi and shake their hand and meet them face-to-face once a year. So that's what this is all about. It's an industry-only show, so if you're in Indy and you think, hey, that sounds like fun, I'm going to stop by, it's not open to the public. It's industry-only, but it is the largest gathering of motorsports enthusiasts, I think, on the planet.
Very, very cool, and I am looking forward. I will not be attending this year, but I plan to attend next year. It's one of those plan ahead kind of things. Now, I do want your opinion. I know you're keeping up with everything that is going on. Last week, while you were absent, we heard on this show that John Medlin would be going to Don Schumacher Racing, and it was really the first place I heard it even mentioned. We had Rob Wendlin on, and he kind of mentioned it in passing. Sure enough, a couple days later, the story emerges. So now Jimmy Prok and John Medlin going to DSR to tune Jack Beckman's machine in 2015. Jack is going to be on the show just minutes from now. That's a pretty big story and a pretty big movement in talent going from JFR to DSR.
Yeah, we've seen some of that stuff go back and forth before. I'm sure that Jack is excited about it, as anybody would be. You know, after winning the championship a couple of years ago, he has not been back to the winner's circle since. So I think, you know, anybody that thinks that car is not going to make multiple trips to the winner's circle in 2015 is deluding themselves. So I'm sure that Jack is pretty excited and ready to get started. You know, when Jimmy Prok first made his announcement, there were some rumblings that there might be some other personnel swaps and some stuff going on. So I don't know that it was a huge shock. I'm sure that it was great news, like I said, for Beckman, and I'll let him talk more about that. But, you know, certainly a coup for Don Schumacher. You know, John Medlin has been there before, so he kind of knows the ins and outs and knows the ropes of how DSR works. I'm sure that'll help make Jimmy's transition a little bit smoother as he moves across the street there on Northfield Drive. But just, you know, I'm looking forward to getting started. I'm not a big silly season guy. I'm more of a racing season guy. So, you know, the news and numbers and stuff coming out of West Palm were pretty intriguing and pretty interesting. I'm ready to fire the first bear.
You mentioned the numbers. Matt Hagan just blistering the quarter mile or the 1,000 foot down there. 3.954 for Hagan. And what's interesting, Comp Plus has got some interesting reporting that Dickie Venables said it was not like a full service. They didn't seat the clutch. They kind of threw it back together because they had smoked the tires. And Hagan said by far it was a unique run in that he has never felt the car run quicker. 3:20 to the eighth, 2:77, 3.954 at 3:23, and they were just all blown away.
Yeah, 277 miles an hour at the eighth in a funny car is really getting it. And, you know, for Hagan to say, I've never felt anything that quick, well, I don't believe anybody in a funny car has ever felt anything that quick, so.
Yeah, that's the quickest, yeah. Quickest ever, so.
Thank you. Thank you, Captain Obvious. obviously it was a terrific run, and it's interesting how much stuff is learned in some of those, you know, mad thrash. We don't normally do this, but, you know, whether it was getting dark, whether they're just trying to sneak in one more, I haven't seen the article, so I don't know what the story was, but there have been a lot of things over the years discovered kind of by accident in a situation like that. And, you know, I'm sure they'll go back and pour over everything, you know, with all the data acquisition that they have on the cars now. They might have learned something that they can repeat going forward. So it'll be interesting to watch the performance of that car, which certainly wasn't lacking in 2014 by any means.
The great news is that Don Schumacher was actually there over the weekend watching, following up from a cancer operation that he had had previously. So good things looking forward to in 2015. The new Dodge Charger body was also on the car on Sunday, and I saw it briefly at SEMA. And there are some visible differences, but the super run, the quickest run ever, was made with the old body.
Interesting you'd say visible differences. They made a couple of laps of that thing in testing in Las Vegas at the end of last season, and what all of the guys that sat in the car said the most visible difference was you can actually see out of it. the injector opening and the slope of the windshield and the doghouse shape on the older car had very limited vision. It was probably the blindest, if that's a word, funny car out there to drive right now, and one of the things that they did with the 15 model was get the driver a little bit more visibility. So, you know, it certainly is not going to be aerodynamically worse, and if it makes it easier for the driver to see and stay in control of the situation, then I think it's going to be a win-win. I'm not sure if everybody will have them by the time we get to Pomona, but I'm guessing that they're probably pumping them out as quick as they can.
It is very cool that there is even a change happening, and maybe the different positioning of some of the things will eliminate or reduce the explosions of those Dodge Charger bodies. Is that a possibility?
Well, you know that's something that they looked at in the redesign. You know, there was obviously a weak point in the body where even a minor explosion sometimes could cause the body to split. It didn't seem to be nearly as bad a factor in the Toyotas or the Fords. And if you're an engineer and you're going to work designing a new body, why wouldn't you fix that or address that problem? So, you know, I expect it to be a better piece all the way around. Mopar doesn't do anything halfway. You know, they're very heavily committed and heavily vested in drag racing. So, you know, I'm sure that this is going to be a better piece, stronger, more aerodynamic. I think it'll be better all the way around. And, you know, the proof obviously will come on the racetrack later on in the year.
I know you are in an airport and potentially have to board, so please let us know just some news that has happened over the past couple of weeks. And maybe in a future show would be a better opportunity for you to comment on it. But the passing of Dale Armstrong last week, a unfortunate news story, one of the true innovators in the sport of drag racing.
He was just an amazing guy, and I'm very fortunate that I've had the opportunity over the years. You know, I got to know him back when he was running the Budweiser funny car when, you know, I was not nearly as involved in racing as I am now, but got a chance to talk to him a couple of times. And then as I got more and more involved, just an opportunity to sit down. I mean, he was a really smart guy, a really funny guy, and he had just some, I don't know if off the wall is the right word, but definitely out of the box ideas that, you know, with his knowledge and expertise and Kenny Bernstein's ability to find funding and be able to, you know, practice some of this stuff. You know, a lot of things, especially when you're burning nitro, it's not something that you can do on a really tight budget. And, you know, I don't mean any disrespect whatsoever, but, you know, Tim Wilkerson doesn't have the budget to go out and develop new pieces and try new stuff when you know that, hey, we're going to burn through a lot of things, we're going to blow up a lot of things, we're going to tear up a lot of things. And, you know, so some of the teams have to stay more with the, you know, the proven combination. Well, Dale was a guy that was always trying to find something different, and Kenny was a guy that could put the financing together that allowed them to do that, and they literally, you know, revolutionized. Anybody that's read anything about Dale, you know, so many of the things that he first dreamed up and first drew up and first made work are now standard equipment on nitro cars, you know, top to bottom. He was just a really sharp guy, a really interesting guy, a really funny guy, and it's a tragedy that he's gone so soon.
Yes, absolutely. And just as I was a kid coming up, just watching the evolution happen, and much of it was Dale Armstrong doing it, computers, aerodynamics. That was something very cool in the sport of drag racing. It is a tragedy that we lost him. I also see that Z-Max Dragway beginning resurfacing of all four lanes of their facility. That's good news for 2015.
It really is, and it's something that needed to be done. You know, and it's something that's probably been coming for over a year. There were a couple of minor issues at the four wide that they tried to address before we went back in the fall. And then after the rain out came up in the fall, you know, some of the guys got together and they said, hey, look, we've got some time here. You know, Bruton is the kind of guy that wants to make sure everything's perfect. And, you know, Bruton's the kind of guy that doesn't attempt to put Band-Aids on things. If there's problems, he wants to fix it right. So I commend him for opening the checkbook. You know, he and whoever's decision it was, whether it was Marcus, whether it was Christian, all the guys that were involved in it, that said, hey, this is something we need to do. It'll be better racing for our fans. It'll be a better surface for the drivers, and it'll put on a better show for everybody. A tip of the cap to those guys for, you know, seeing the problem, addressing the problem, and taking positive action to fix it. I think that's wonderful.
I also see they are going to go to asphalt down the track as opposed to an all-concrete strip. In your experience, is that going to be better?
You know, I don't know if it would be better, but it won't be. It certainly won't be worse. You know, you've got to have concrete on the starting line when, you know, those cars are making all the power and putting, you know, asphalt just won't hold up to that. Once you get a little bit further down track and the cars are moving, asphalt certainly is navigable. We've seen that over and over and over again. You know, Redding has a lot of asphalt. Actually, almost all the tracks do. There's only a couple of them that are all concrete. So I don't think that's going to be any kind of an issue as far as causing problems with performance. And, you know, when you sit down and look at options and what's the best way to go, and they decided that was it. So, you know, you go look at what's worked in other places and what, you know, what you know is a proven combination, and that's what they're going with. So, again, I just applaud the action. I applaud the fact that they're being proactive and spending, obviously, a considerable amount of money to make it all happen.
Absolutely. That is most important. We're going to have a great race out there. Not long from now, as you said, it's time to light some cars. Alan, great job as usual. I know you are mid-travel and probably exhausted after being all over the continent of Africa. Thank you so much for taking the time with us here on WFO Radio. We do have some questions and subject matter said by audience members stacking up. Hopefully next week or the week after we can start to attack some of them. But in the meantime, I greatly appreciate you taking the time to address some of the latest news in the world of drag racing.
Happy to do it. Hopefully when we talk next week, I won't be quite in such a zombie state. You know, for those of you that have a globe in your office, find Djibouti and then Addis Ababa and then Saudi and then Frankfurt and then Houston and then Tucson. And that was 34 hours of my life starting Sunday evening and ending Monday evening. And, you know, after 8 hours at home, now I'm back on the road going to PRI. So hopefully I'll be a little rested up next time we talk. But the trip was 100% worth it. Thanks again to the guys at Summit, to Armed Forces Entertainment, everybody that put that thing together and makes it happen. It was grueling. It was tiring. And it was amazing. And I hope they invite me back to do it again and again and again. It was really a pretty special deal.
I kind of like Zombie Reinhardt. I mean, I'm just speaking for myself here, but you're really on point. I mean, it was really good today. Maybe we need Zombie Reinhardt more often.
Hey, that's fine. Just, you know, call me at 4 o'clock in the morning instead of 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
There you go. Alan, have a great time at PRI. Get some rest. Thank you so much.
All right, Joe. Thanks. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Alan. The voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhardt, joins us each week at the start of each edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. And then the drivers come, and we have got drivers this week, baby. We got Fast Jack Beckman. He all of a sudden has two of the top names as his crew chief going into 2015. Is he the favorite to win the championship? That might be an overstatement, but we're going to ask Jack what he thinks about that. Of course, the sport of drag racing in general. Jack, always great on WFO Radio. And we haven't heard from him in a long time on one of our winners' editions. We'll have to ask him about that. Dave Connolly going to be on the show, going to talk about his recent jump to Top Fuel. What's Dave think about it? And Morgan Lucas going to be on the show. Morgan winning the Auto Club Finals, flying with the Thunderbirds. He's been very active the past couple of months. We're going to catch up with Morgan Lucas on this edition of WFO Radio. If you're out there on social media, Facebook or Twitter, share the show. We love when you share the show. That's how we bring in new listeners. You might have clicked on the link, and now you're a new listener. Well, we want all your friends on board. This is a little community of racers and friends. We get together a couple times a week here on WFO Radio, NHRA, on NHRA Nitro. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Fast Jack Beckman. Later on in the show, Dave Connolly and Morgan Lucas. But first, I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Now, if you've been around the sport of drag racing for a long time, or even a short time, you've heard of Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. It's where a lot of drivers go to get their driver's licenses, go through programs, whether they're trying to get their super gas or super comp license or drive an alcohol car for the very first time. But that's for drivers who want to be champions. What about you? What about the racing fan who wants the experience? It's holiday season now, and you're looking for a great gift for a friend, for a family member, for a client. Well, the Dragster Adventure at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, there is no better gift. It is a memory you will have for the rest of your life, and your client or family member or friend will thank you, thank you, thank you. Have you ever been in a dragster? Have you ever accelerated 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds? Have you ever reached 130 miles per hour in a quarter mile? Well, of course not. The only place you can do that is in the cockpit of a dragster. And as much as many other schools give ride-along experiences and a chance to ride with a professional driver, the Dragster Adventure lets you drive. You are in control of your own destiny. You are out there working with Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School to get down the track, and you make multiple runs over the course of a day. You even can join a program that lets you race. Courses start at $399, and thinking about that, wow, $399, is that a large investment? Or is it a small investment, considering you're going out to a facility, you're getting behind the wheel of a car, you're taken to the track several times over the course of the day, you've got professional instruction with you? I think it's one heck of a value. But I also know it's tough to just drop $399 on a course at any one moment, which is why the folks at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, for WFO Radio listeners who call and make an appointment, can actually break that cost up into 4 easy payments. 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it here on WFO Radio. 866-480-7223. Give them a call. Find out more. Check out their website, frankhawley.com. I see the dates already starting to come out for January and February as they tour the country. And here's what I envision. You give the gift. It's in an envelope. It says, dear, a greatly appreciated family member, customer, or client. In 2015, you are going to Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School courtesy of me. And then you work out the rest. Give them a call, 866-480-7223. They travel across the country with the Dragster Adventure program. It is side-by-side racing. It is absolutely awesome, and it is an experience and a gift that you will remember for the rest of your life. What is better than that? 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it on WFO or go to frankhawley.com. We'll be back with Fast Jack Beckman from Don Schumacher Racing right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Hey race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax Coffee by going to Rodax Coffee and Grills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order, and there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
It's great to be on your show, man. Every time I'm on your show, brother, I know on WFO, I know we did something good.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. How's everybody doing out there, all you NHRA fans? Thanks for logging on this week to WFO Radio, where the off-season never comes. That's right, we're interviewing drivers throughout the holiday and off-season. There is no off-season, as everybody knows, and everybody's getting ready for PRI, and there's a lot of breaking news out there in the world of NHRA drag racing. And here to talk about some of it, he is involved in many ways, Jack Beckman. Jack, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
I'm just glad I'm still involved. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how are you? We did not speak with you as much as I would have guessed at the start of 2014, and a lot of moves are being made to make sure you're on the show a lot more in 2015.
Yeah, for those of you that don't get what Joe's alluding to, 2014 was not exactly a stellar year. Didn't win a single race, made it to one final round, finished the season with a losing record and not in the top 10, and I've never done any of those things before. And boy, it was like a punch in the gut and left a bitter taste, and I don't intend on doing it again. And the other thing Joe was alluding to, the changes that were being made to ensure that we don't stumble next year, is we brought Jimmy Clark on board, who was with us the last two races of this year, and John Medlin has just come over again to DSR. He had been with us a few years ago on the Napa car, went back to John Force Racing, and then decided he wanted to come back, so both of them will be on the Infinite Hero car that I'm driving.
Just huge news. I liken it being in Miami or in southeastern Florida when the Miami Heat were able to get LeBron James and Chris Bosh to go with Dwayne Wade, and they called them the Big Three. Just three really monster personalities getting together with the goal of winning a championship. Jimmy Prok, John Medlin, 2011 NHRA Mellow Yellow Funny Car Champ Jack Beckman together for the 2015 season. To me, there are some similarities there.
Well, I just feel like I won the lotto twice in 3 weeks. I mean, I would have never in a million years thought that Jimmy Prock was going to leave John Force Racing. And you know what's unfortunate? There's a lot of people that like to put their opinions out there that don't have the facts. There are some very thoughtful people on some of the websites and message boards, and I don't go on them because of the unthoughtful people that are on them. We didn't steal John or Jimmy Prock from John Force. People have jobs. People have families. People need to look out for themselves. Jimmy Prock was going to make a change, and John Force decided to cut him loose with two races left. The folks that are thinking that Don Schumacher did something to try to keep Force from winning the championship, that couldn't be further from the truth. And in fact, look no further than my team. Todd Smith and I won the world championship in 2012, and in 2013, he left with one race to go and went over to John Force Racing. So this sort of thing happens a lot. We wish that it didn't, but it also happens in life outside of drag racing as well. I'm just incredibly thankful that I'm going to be driving the car that two of the people that I've admired the most as far as tuners and personalities, you know, Medlin and Prock, are going to be on that car.
It was a dramatic story. You brought up a lot there, Jack, that I'd love to get your thoughts and opinions on. In addition to the racing, like the message boards, for instance, there has been a lot of negativity, like vile spew, thrown at everyone involved, whether it be the crew chief or you guys or just everywhere across the board. Seems to me that the highly qualified crew chief person, insert name here, can pretty much name his situation, whether it be salary or where, because not only are they bringing in resources in terms of money and victory, but they are also not destroying resources, as in blowing up things, and there are not a lot of guys that are qualified to do it.
Yeah, you know, what you're saying has a lot of merit, but I think maybe it had more merit a few years ago. Sponsorship dollars are tough to find. It takes $3 million a year to run one of these nitro cars in an effort to win a championship. You could cut corners on that, but you're not going to run for a championship. And let's say that you've got five amazing crew chiefs, but you've only got four highly funded teams looking for crew chiefs. Well, one of those top-level crew chiefs won't be able to name his price and find a job anywhere. So I think it's even gotten tougher for them in recent years here. Now, I think a lot of this is just the natural downturn from the recession. I think drag racing actually was able to weather the storm real well starting in 2008, but maybe because of that, we're still feeling the effects of that more than some other industries. In other words, we minimize the initial damage, but it's going to take us a little bit longer to recover from that.
Very possibly, and the economics of the sport, I'll be interested to see how it works out if gas prices stay where they are, which you never can count on that, but the economic types on television are saying that there will be a prolonged period of lower gas prices. I can't think of a sport that lives and dies by gas prices as much as guys touring around the country the way you do.
Yeah, because it's not just gasoline. It's the diesel fuel that goes into the rigs. It's the jet fuel for the fans to fly to the races. It's when they get in their cars and drive to the races, and that's all discretionary income. So it does have a huge effect on us. And drag racing, knock on wood, has remained largely intact through this recession. I'd like to see us try to thrive even more. I'd love to see packed houses all 3 days. There's some races where I've been very pleasantly surprised at the crowds on all 3 days. There's some races where you think, gosh, what's going on? Is there something else happening in this town on this day? You might get a great crowd on Saturday, and it's kind of sparse on Friday. And a lot of that is, in the summer months, we can put on a night session run, so a lot of people can work a half day Friday and still come to the races. Well, it's tough for these folks. A lot of people are lucky just to have work to take a Friday off and go to the races. So there's just a whole lot of puzzle pieces that need to fit together.
I certainly hope. I wish it for the fans and the numbers. The numbers don't necessarily lie. Things are definitely trending in the right direction. It just takes a certain period of time to get back after what we went through as a world. Not just the country, but the entire world went through a big shakeup in 2008. But as you said, and I agree with you, the sport of drag racing weathered it fairly well. And now it's time to move forward and grow. Now, having Jack Beckman, Funny Car Champ, with two premier crew chief personalities going for the 2015 championship, that's going to be a big deal. Do you feel like a favorite? Do you feel like just signing these guys, putting them involved with your team, you knowing your ability as a driver, are you one of the favorites to win the championship just because of this personnel move?
Yes, but I would have told you the same thing in 2013 for sure. We were the defending champs then. And I would have thought we were going to be a top five car in 2014, and I went 0-2 on those. We still have to perform. It's very interesting when Jimmy came over, and he initially wasn't going to start on our car until the beginning of the year. And then with the various press releases and whatnot that went on out there, he felt comfortable showing up at the last two races. And he did change a significant amount of things on our car. And we didn't win around at the last two races. But I'm going to tell you, we made some big steps in the correct direction. And people think there's just a bunch of knobs that you turn on these cars, and when you turn them to the right combination, they'll haul butt and they won't blow up. The reality is, and this is a quote from Jimmy, he said, the way that you guys run your cars is an entirely different zip code from the way I run mine. And what I think is awesome about that is if you look at the scoreboards, the numbers are about the same. Our fast cars are about as fast as their fast cars. But we do it with different parts, different philosophies, different clutch and fuel management systems. So Jimmy's integrated some of that stuff on the car for the last couple races. And initially he was thinking he would change everything over to his parts, pieces, and combo. But I think he's liked a whole lot of what he's seen from the DSR tune-up package. So now I think he's trying to integrate them and come up with what he feels is the best overall package. Now we're going to have Medlin on board working with him side by side. And gosh, I don't know what title you give to John Medlin, because to call that guy an assistant crew chief is like calling a four-star general a private. I guess they're going to be co-crew chiefs, and John doesn't have an ego. It doesn't really matter to him. It was so surreal, Joe, to watch Jimmy Prock come out of the crew chief lounge wearing my car's team uniform at the last two races. And to go in and see him and Medlin, it's more than I could have ever asked for. And to answer your original question, yeah, I think it absolutely puts us back on track to be one of the favorites for a championship.
You must have a lot of pull or be very well liked at DSR for these moves to be made. When Jack Beckman is not winning, it obviously makes things happen, and things have happened.
Well, it's about money. It really is. Don Schumacher has been successful over a long period of time because he runs things like a business. He doesn't run them from emotion. He doesn't run them from ego. He doesn't run them from pride. And when you run something like a business, you don't run out of money. You don't spend money that you don't have, and you make prudent decisions. We are fully funded for next year. We've got the Infinite Hero program on board with Terry Chandler backing us. And that gave Don the opportunity from a business standpoint to say, what are some moves I can make now to shore this team up and ensure that they perform at the top? You know, if you look at our other three funny cars last year, Matt Hagan won his second championship. And John Collins with the Make-A-Wish car was fantastic as his first year as a crew chief. And Ron Tobler's always solid and in the mix. So ours was the one that underperformed, and we've made the necessary steps. See, I think not only will Jimmy Prock and John Medlin make the other three funny car teams better, I think the other three funny car teams will make Jimmy Prock and John Medlin even better.
The cross-pollination of information back and forth through the pit area, it is a very interesting thing to think about. I know that these crew chiefs probably underappreciated compared to the amount of effort that they are putting in, both physically, mentally, but just on a run. What would you say is their contribution, Jack? You as the driver, you take the machine after all the settings have been set and you get it from start to finish, but how much of what goes into a good run comes out of the crew chief job?
everything. I think the driver's job, and I'm not minimizing my job, you've got to do a lot of things correctly in one of these cars, not the least of which is leaving on time, but that's only a small percentage of the things that fall on the shoulders of a driver. But there's nothing we can do to make the car any quicker than the tune-up the crew chiefs put in it. I think that those other nine people, the two crew chiefs and the seven mechanics, are responsible for everything with how to do with the way the car runs. My job's not to make them look bad by doing something wrong.
Absolutely, and you've done well at that. 2012 NHRA Funny Car Champion, Fast Jack Beckman, with us here on WFO Radio. And so what's the schedule, Jack? You talk about switching some things over. It happens at just the right time. You got a little time away from the track. But I know some of your teams at DSR are testing as we speak at Palm Beach International Raceway. I see Megan Fessel is tweeting out videos of the Red Fuel Top Fuel Dragster going down the racetrack. What is the schedule going to be like over the next couple months as you guys try to gel?
Well, Don Schumacher hires crew chiefs. He lets the crew chiefs hire their crew. So Jimmy and John are bringing over, I believe, five of their seven crew people from 2014. I'm only going to have one crew guy still on board from last year, our cylinder head guy, Chris Spall. And I'm going to miss the crew that we had from 2014 because they worked so hard, and I just wish I could have given them more positive results from that. But Jimmy Prock is at West Palm right now. The Napa Funny Car and the Mopar Express Funny Car are both testing. They're testing some clutch stuff. Jimmy went out not only to advise but to absorb, so he's going to look at what's working for them. The only reason we didn't take our car out there is with integrating the new crew people over at DSR, and with having to order a lot of parts to get our car closer to what Jimmy's comfortable with, it just didn't make sense to try to throw a bunch of stuff in the trailer and tear on out to West Palm. We're going to go out there the week of January 13th, I believe, and test for 5 days anyway. But right now, I believe Jimmy's going to get a head start on that, working with Tobler and with Dickie Venables.
The Pro Winter Warm-Up, an event that I hit and I am at every year. I believe I will be on the mic here in 2015, so I always look forward to that. You know that. But and a great taste of nitro for the people here in South Florida. So in terms of sharing information, though, I wouldn't imagine Dickie Venables wants to change his combination to what Jimmy Prock is bringing on board, because he obviously was very good, as you mentioned, set up different but running the same numbers and maybe even better. How is that going to affect the relationship between the teams? Just kind of bouncing ideas back and forth to one another, and then each crew chief determines what to go with and what not to go with?
Yeah, ultimately it's each crew chief's final decision on what they do. And a lot of times what will happen is, let's just say we start out preseason testing and we made four identical cars. They had the same clutch levers, they had the same blower inserts on them, they had the same tire diameters on them. Everything was a carbon copy. When those go up to the starting line, they still won't get run the same. Each crew chief's got a different philosophy. Some do the launch with wheelie bar height, some do it with tire pressure, some do it with ignition timing. So they're going to start to diverge from identical immediately. Well, then what happens is the crew chief says, you know what, my car's soft in the middle. I need to be more aggressive with the clutch in this area. I'm going to try a thicker trunk on the clutch arm, and he changes some stuff. So what will happen is after 3 or 4 months, you're going to see a lot of differences in them. But every Tuesday, the crew chiefs get together and have their meeting, and they find out what's working and what's not and what's trending. Well, if your car's struggling after 3 months, and you see that two of the other funny cars are really running well and have gone to this different clutch arm, I'd say that'd be an intelligent choice for you to adopt that. And that's what happens all year long.
It is very interesting to see. Give me your state of the sport, Jack, as you coming off this season, which you didn't run like you would have run or would like to have run. But I think most people agree that 2014 NHRA Mellow Yellow season was a great one in terms of entertainment value, even numbers, like we said, directionally correct. What is the state of the sport as we speak?
Well, I think some wonderful things happened this year. Erica Enders winning the championship on the last run of the year was absolutely phenomenal. I think so highly of her abilities behind the wheel and outside of the race car, and I think that this was a case where the best team and the best driver won this year. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Jason Lyon. That man is phenomenal and invaluable in the engine shop. I'm just saying this year, I think that that Elite Motorsports team won the Pro Stock Championship. They just outperformed everybody. So I think that was fantastic for the sport. Watching Sarge win his eighth world championship, that's pretty cool too. I have never seen a year, even though the car counts aren't as high as they were 5 or 6 years ago, where top fuel dragsters are so close together in the top 12 cars in qualifying. It is absolutely unbelievable. Pro stock car counts have been down, but I think what Erica did this year might get the fans' interest peaked again in what's going on. And funny car is always a crapshoot. There's never a year where there isn't at least eight different winners. And next year, I don't see it being any exception. I just want to go out there and win a trophy right now. It has been St. Louis of 2012 since I held up a Wally in the winner's circle. I think we've got a great chance of doing it. But keep in mind that we still have to go earn it. Just having Jimmy Prock and John Menlin doesn't guarantee Jack Beckman's going to win trophies. I still have to go out every round and do everything correctly there. But I think that we have a great chance of being able to do that. And it's nice to know, you had said, do you think that puts you guys at the top of the heap for the championship? Man, I think there's 6, 8, 9 cars that absolutely are capable of winning the championship. And with this countdown format, like it or not, I'm more of a purist and kind of like the older style format, but it keeps the interest going. It keeps the excitement level high till the last race of the year. You see a lot of teams dominate the first 16 races, and then the wheels seem to fall off the car in the countdown, and vice versa. People struggle for the first part of the year, come alive in the countdown, and win a championship. So let's go win some trophies with our Infinite Hero car, and then when we get to the countdown, we'll worry about winning rounds.
Jack, since we've got everything lined up now for you for 2015, and hopefully the toughest times are in the rearview mirror, how difficult was it coming off that championship, something you'd really worked on your entire career, your second championship behind the Super Comp Championship, and then kind of get into a funk? And obviously this past year, you mentioned it was very tough, but how tough was it personally? Was it the kind of thing where you're able to show up at the track because of your relationships with the military, doing the Infinite Hero thing, and still get a lot out of it personally? Or does running not up to your normal standard really weigh on you personally?
I would say both, Joe. I would say that it's never been lost on me how unbelievably lucky I am to get a paycheck to drive a Nitro Funny car. I love the fan interaction. I like working with the sponsors. I love everything about my job. But at the end of the day, what makes your job worth working hard for is to be the best on Sundays. And to not be able to do that for 2 years in a row sucked. There's no way to put a positive spin on it. There's not a silver lining. There's not a life lesson I think you can take from that. But I'm going to tell you right now, I still haven't won a race yet, even though I think our chances are great for next year. So the advice I give you now isn't from Jack Beckman sitting up on stage holding up the 2015 championship trophy and saying, oh, I knew all along and always had a positive attitude, we'd get back here. I don't know if we'll get back there. I don't know if I'll ever win another race again. But I do still know how lucky I am. I do know that we're doing all the things right, getting all the ingredients in play to try to build a winning team. The fan in me loves going out and seeing these races, and the competitor and driver in me loves being a part of winning teams. I think we're going to be back up on the top here. Whether we win a championship or not really kind of depends on the last six races. But I think we're going to give the rest of them fits. And I think that we're going to be one of those cars that people hate pulling up against. And that's a nice position to be because that feeds the confidence. So your question is great. I handled it well, but inside it felt like a punch in the gut. It was very demoralizing, but I want to continue to have a positive attitude because I realize that at the end of the day, I'm not going to be defined by how many trophies I've won. I'm a lot of other things besides a race car driver, but when we do show up on those Sundays, I want to be a good race car driver.
Jack, great to hear from you. Congratulations on the moves that have been made. It's certainly going to make for an entertaining 2015. We appreciate you coming on WFO to talk about it. Will you be going to PRI?
Well, I got to fly out Wednesday to Indy to go to the shop. We're going to do a seat insert, going to do a couple other things there. I might try to slip over Thursday morning and make a quick lap through PRI. You know, I love doing that sort of stuff as a dad and a husband. I haven't had a whole lot of free time the last few years, but maybe because I'm there and the schedule's open, I'll go look around and see some of that new shiny sparkly stuff.
Everybody loves the shiny sparkly stuff. Jack, thank you so much for coming on WFO, telling us all about the addition of John Medlin and Jimmy Prock, and I believe you said 5 of 7 crew members from that team last year coming over to the Infinite Hero team. I have a feeling you're going to be selling a lot of those coins.
Yeah, we're going to continue that challenge coin program. I think we raised $60,000 doing those. All those coins go down the racetrack with me. We got a new series of them for 2015, $100 donation, and the Nitro coins have just made a huge difference in a lot of soldiers' lives for rehab and therapy.
Excellent work by you, and excellent work here on the show. Jack, thank you so much. You know, I could talk to you for hours upon hours about various facets. You know, we had Steve Reyes on the show a while back. He's like, you need to talk to Beckman if you want to know about the history of the sport. So we, of course, invite you back anytime to delve into the history of the sport. But right now, you are the current news of the sport. Congratulations, and happy holidays, of course.
Anytime you want to chew the you-know-what, you call me. You rock, Joe. Thanks to all the fans, and happy holidays.
Thanks, Jack. Fast Jack Beckman with us here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Subscribe, 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 or download the mobile application for iPhone or Android. You can also listen on Stitcher and tune in. iTunes, of course. This is a show you don't want to miss. Last week, we heard from Rob Wendland. Rob, free agent crew chief, used to work at DSR, is out there and just working with the Deal family, got them their quickest elapsed time ever. And we were talking with Rob. It's in the archive. And he mentioned during the interview that John Medlin was going to DSR. And at the time, it wasn't breaking news. It was pre-breaking news. The kind of stuff you hear on WFO radio during these conversations if you listen every week. And I've heard from many people out there in the drag racing community that listening to the show, and it's such a great compliment. I'm very humbled by it because people come on the show, they say things that you don't necessarily hear everywhere else, but it just kind of comes out in the conversation as potential news that is happening. And several days later, the Medlin story is everywhere, and if you're a weekly WFO radio listener, you had it first, which I think is very, very cool. Maybe not first. We don't want to get into that, the first breaking news people issue that has crippled so many of the news agencies out there. I'd rather be right than be first, is the way we like to look at things, and that's why we let others break the news, but every once in a while, it's beyond our control, and it actually happens right here on the show. You can't miss a show. That is the moral to the story. You cannot miss a show. We got a lot more coming. Dave Connolly going to be on the show. Going to talk about testing at PBIR in West Palm Beach, Florida. I see they have released the dates for their pro winter warm-up Nitro test. I know it is way in advance of the Nitro test at the pro winter warm-up, but I'll be there. And it is certainly a very fun event. And you get to be very up close and personal if you're in Florida, if you're in Georgia, if you're in Alabama. You could make it down here for that. I think it's very well worth it and certainly become a part of the year that you have to check out. We get used to seeing those numbers. But what Hagen put up on the board, that 395, that's pretty impressive too. But Dave Connolly is down there doing some testing behind the wheel of a Nitro car. What's it like making the jump from Pro Stock to Top Fuel? How different can it be, right? We are going to find out. Also, Morgan Lucas on this show, going to talk about winning the Auto Club Finals. But first, I want to tell you about another one of our great sponsors. And we are talking about the holidays, holiday themes. What can you get for your NHRA fan friend or person that has a great appreciation for racing or otherwise? Well, one of our great sponsors, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, has got something for you. Of course, you know, if you listen to the show, over 40 single original coffees to choose from. He's a big drag racing fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, has won many barbecue contests with his A26 spice rub, but also makes his own specialty grades of coffee, including custom blends like the WFO radio blend we're always talking about. It's proprietary. There's only one. It represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. And all coffee is roasted fresh per order. They have got exotic coffee, so if you want to try some of that Jamaican Blue Mountain coffee or the Sumatra Kopi Luwak or the Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaiian Kona coffees or Maui coffees, Marvin has got it all. So when you go to the website, rodaxcoffeeandgrills.com, check around. But he actually likes and enjoys when you call because he wants to know about what your taste is, what kind of flavors you like, when are you going to drink it, what are you going to mix it with. It's an art form, really. 817-924-6821. That's 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I want some coffee. But you know, if you listen to the show, it's not just coffee. It's the barbecue spice rub, and it's the hot sauces. The hot sauces are incredible. One of my favorite things, absolutely. One of my favorite things as a condiment on my food is the Habanero Endorphin Booster Hot Sauce. All kinds of chunks of good stuff in there. It's got a great texture. And whew, it's hot, but not painful. It's very pleasant, in fact. And what Marvin is doing for the holidays, the WFO Holiday Pack. That is right. A bag of the WFO Radio Coffee, a container of the Rodax 826 Spice Rub, and a bottle of the Habanero Hot Sauce. It's a $28 value for $22 now through the holiday season. So pick up the phone, call 816-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I got a bunch of clients that I want to make very happy by sending them the WFO Radio Holiday Pack. The hot sauce, the coffee, and the spice rub. You know what I love about this particular gift is that it's going to be around for several months. The bag of coffee, the hot sauce, the spice rub, that's something that hangs around for a while, and they can enjoy it many, many times. Go to rodaxcoffeeandgrills.com or pick up the phone, call Marvin, 817-924-6821. Of course, tell him you heard it on WFO Radio, and you will very much enjoy it. That's rodaxcoffeeandgrills.com. We'll be back with Dave Connolly on WFO Radio and breaking news, Matt Hagan, the 2014 NHRA Mellow Yellow Funny Card Champion, is going to join us at the tail end of the show. Talk about that 395. Think about that. Hagan going to be on the show now, too. Stick around. We'll be back after this.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
We have got the historic first female ever in pro stock to win the Mellow Yellow World Championship. Joins Angele and Shirley as the female champions in NHRA history. Here she is, Erica Enders-Stevens.
After the race on Sunday, I got the chance to sign a poster, and they said, you know, write 2014 world champion. And I mean, that was a really cool moment, but it was minutes after we accomplished it. And then last week, I spent some time with Richard Freeman and sitting in the lobby of the hotel and just him saying, do you realize what we've accomplished? And we've only been together a year, and I feel really honored. But at the same time, I mean, it's wow. I don't know what to say. I've struggled in my interview since then, like I'm putting it into words, because it's crazy. It's hard to fathom.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFOradio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Moving along here on NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio. We are in December, we're in the off-season, but we're still talking NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. And one of the great stories from 2014 that was rolling out over a long duration of time, it was a rumor, and then it was kind of maybe a rumor, and then it was true, just like that. Dave Connolly going to Top Fuel for Bob Vandegrift. He is out there testing this week, and he joins us now. Dave, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
Hey, Joe, how we doing? Glad to be back.
I am great and got a lot to talk to you about, but I guess everybody just wants to know, what do you think of driving a Top Fuel dragster?
I'm beginning to wonder, Joe. No, these things, they're a ton of fun, and they're crazy. They're 100% animals, and, you cannot get that experience anywhere else, because there's no other place that pulls these kind of G's, for this amount of time. These things are a handful, and we're still in the learning stages right now. We've been here since yesterday, doing some testing in West Palm, and continuing on today. So we've done about everything. We smoked the tires early, smoked the tires down track, popped the blower, we shook the tires, a couple of driver errors along the way, and it's definitely schools in session for sure here at West Palm.
From what everybody says, and I love watching new drivers go through the experience, but rarely does someone with as much experience as you, a lifetime, bracket cars, index cars, huge horsepower, super gas, super comp cars, then pro stock, then make this final jump to the quickest accelerating machines on Earth. When you jumped in and hammered the gas the first time in the Top Fuel car, there's a widely circulated video. We had it up on our Facebook page as well. What was that first impression? Did you feel like I got this, or did you feel like, uh-oh, this is something new?
Well, I've made like six or seven more runs since that first run, and I still ain't got it. So it was definitely something new. I mean, the initial hit of the tire, again, drove some different stuff over the years, and even a pro stock car, they'll pull 2.5-3 G's at the swap of the feet, and that's impressive. And then you times that by two, and it continues. But the run just never stops all the way down the track. I mean, we're pulling 4 G's until the clutch goes 1-1. Then you're pulling 5.5-6 G's when it does that at 600 feet. So it's just, again, I wasn't prepared for it, and it's surprising me and shocking me every time down the track.
See, that is just exciting to hear you say that, because I know that you can't really have much more experience than you have driving every other car but a nitro car. So I think that's good pub for the class. Like, wow, a guy like Dave Connolly gets in this thing and is really put back by it. these things are amazing. As much as we see them every event and maybe get used to 300 miles an hour, saying 0 to 100 in less than 1 second, hearing a guy like you talk about it being a huge deal really reinforces that.
Oh, they are. They're the baddest. And after driving one, I can assure you my feelings on it are they are the baddest motorsports car out there. It's going to take a lot of time, a lot of seat time to, get acclimated in here. Just getting familiar with the procedures and all that, that's going fairly smooth. Staying ahead of a car, or at least with the car as you're going down the track, because you're covering up so much ground, so many feet in such a hurry, and that's the biggest challenge at this point.
You're not going to be able to take like 5 thou at the stripe at will?
I'm just hoping I make it to the stripe safely. I'm definitely not going to be looking for the other guy for quite some time, but definitely looking forward to the challenge. All these guys here at Vandegrift Racing, they're putting in a lot of time, a lot of effort to start with a new driver. So I'm very grateful for this opportunity, and I'm going to do my best to try to get acclimated and do a good job behind the wheel. So that's my priority right now.
Anything you have to unlearn that has been something you have done or worked on, or something that maybe works in the Pro Stock car or Lucas Oil Series cars that is not a good idea in the Top Fuel car?
Oh yeah, and I guess you could chalk them up as to bad habits. From the Pro Stock range. Actually, yesterday I did a very big mistake, and I used to always clean the cars out when I'd go through the finish line in a Pro Stock car to keep all the fuel out of the cylinders. Well, in these things, you got a blower turning, and once you took the fuel off and you let a bunch of air in there, it actually popped the blower one run about 600 feet. So definitely do not touch that gas once you let off of them in these cars. But it's just the steering's different. Where I would take a lot of time to bring a Pro Stock car back in the groove, I'm so much further down the track that I have to really make my adjustments a lot earlier in the run than I am now.
It's very cool to just hear you going through this. I also want to hear about, clearly you had a great season in Pro Stock, finishing third overall in the points, great year. I know you wanted a couple of more positions, but it was a very successful year for you and maybe directly contributed to this opportunity. I'd like to think about that. How did this all play out? I know that you and Bob talked a couple of times, and then you started hearing the rumors, Connolly to Top Fuel. And I know I asked you about it a couple of times. I asked Bob about it a couple of times, but there's always a lot of distance between the talking about phase and the in the car phase where you are now. Was there doubt in your mind? Were you excited as it was going on, thinking about this opportunity as it presented itself?
Absolutely. I was very excited, but again, it was definitely come from Gray Motorsports giving me the opportunity to be back out there racing. So it was at a national event that me and Bob started talking. So yeah, definitely a huge thanks to Gray Motorsports, and again, touching base on the Pro Stock season, it was an incredible year. I had a lot of fun racing with Shane and everyone at Gray Motorsports, and I wouldn't give it back for nothing. We had a great team, and we didn't walk away with the big trophy, but definitely wasn't from lack of effort. And again, I'm heading over there tonight to test with them for a few days. So great group of guys, still a very good relationship with them, and I know they're going to do awesome next year as well. But again, back to the Top Fuel, it was, I didn't know what to expect, I was kind of caught off guard, to be honest with you, the first conversation we had with Bob, about driving Top Fuel, because it's one of them deals, the opportunities are very far in between, and there's a lot of good drivers out there looking for rides, that, maybe even more deserving than I am, but, he's got a lot of, faith in me, and, I appreciate that, and we're going to keep moving forward. So it was, I had the excited part, but then again, you're a little bit nervous because you don't know what to expect. I had, pretty much going into a blind. I mean, again, there's no simulators or anything that can prepare you for one of these cars.
What did your dad have to say? Obviously, a very successful Lucas Oil Series racer, and you guys have always been the father and son kind of situation where the dad is a racer and brings the kid into it, and then the kid is into it. I'm sure he's always had a great appreciation for the Nitro cars, but now his son is going to be in one. What did he think about it?
You know, I don't know if you've ever spoken to my dad. He's very very quiet and very laid back, and you know, he just he tells a cool deal, and he's, you know, he's excited for me, obviously, and you know, just kind of anxious to see what happens, as well as I am. And I think dad is a little more excited than mom, obviously. Mom's a little worried, but you know, she has a right to be. He's you know, any type of motorsports is very dangerous, and I guess to see your son cruising down the track at 300 is probably not at ease with her, but, you know, he's very supportive of anything I do, and, you know, it's all positive from, you know, from the family front.
Larry Dixon, going to be your teammate, a three-time champ. Have you gotten to interact with Larry at all? Has he been able to give you any advice? And perhaps you and Larry had communicated prior to this. What's your experience with Larry, and how do you think that this team with the two cars and Bob and the personalities are going to work together in 2015?
Anytime you start a team, personalities is probably the hugest thing in motorsports. I mean, there's plenty of them out here, as you learn, but no, me and Bob have hit it off very well. I think we both got the same personality, you know, as long as you're up front with each other, you know, there shouldn't be no issues down the road. He's done everything that he said, and, you know, we get along great. So, all is good there, and, as far as, you know, having Larry as a teacher, mentor, he's been very good too. But, you know, forever, and they've probably never said 10 words to each other throughout the year. So it's crazy how the world works, and, you know, here we are racing together. But, you know, the first run that we made in Vegas, he was there. And, you know, any questions I have or need, he's there to put them away. So I think that's going to be a huge help, obviously, between him and Bob both being in a top fuel car for 20 years apiece. You know, there's a lot of experience there, so I'm hoping, you know, that's a big role in my learning curve.
Well, I know a lot of sportsman racers, bracket racers, you know, super gas racers, they're going to look at you as their guy because you have climbed up through the ranks exactly how it's supposed to work on paper. You know, first you run bracket cars, and then you run super gas, and then you work your way up, and then you're in top fuel. And it certainly has worked out that way for Dave Connolly. I know you're gonna have a lot of people cheering for you, so we wish you the best of luck. Now, what about the holidays, Dave? You already said are you gonna be driving a pro stocker and testing in Bradenton?
I'm there to do whatever they need, Jim. But yes, we obviously the pro stock cars having new spec they have to run this year, so we got all three cars down there, and you know, we got to get tires burned in, pieces parked, new engines run, so there's a lot to be done down there. So I'm going to go out there, and Jonathan's actually going to jump in the Haas car that I had last year, and they're going to run again same thing as me and Shane on Haas cars, and I'm going to jump probably in Jonathan's old black car, do some burnouts, you know, get some things running for him, and again there for whatever they need, and to prepare for the 2015 season. So, as far as that goes, yeah, it's, you know, no complaints on my front end. I'm hanging out in in Florida in December in top fuel cars, and heading over to the East West Coast and going to test the pro stock cars. You know, life's great. It's, you know, very blessed to have opportunities that I've had along. And, you know, as soon as we finish up with this testing, it's on to the holidays. I'm going to go up and spend the weekend with my folks up in Ohio, and hopefully have a white snow Christmas.
You know, Bob told us when we had him on that he would be cool, and in fact sounded enthusiastic about the idea of you still running a Copo while also competing in top fuel. Is that something you would want to do? Is that something that you feel like you could do, given the nature of the two classes, when they run, all of that?
Yeah, obviously, you know, being a sportsman racer, born and raised, that's something that doesn't leave you, and then definitely not anything going away anytime soon. So, you know, I still have a bracket car to this day, do some bracket racing, and, You know, running the Copos, that class has gotten a lot of attention. Those running stock Lemonade, it's a tough class just like any of them. And, you know, obviously there's different challenges to it. And you know, if I can, everything works out, yeah, I'll definitely have a jump at the opportunity to jump in the Copo as well.
Well, that is really cool. Dave, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio and just watching this all develop this year. I think it's going to be really good for the sport of drag racing. I know you're going to go for the ride of your life and have a good time, but you got a lot of fans out there, people who have been wanting to see you run pro stock full time. They got one season of that. Now moving on to Top Fuel. It's going to be a lot of fun watching you out there, and thanks for coming on WFO and talking about it.
Hey, Joe, anytime. And, you know, again, I can't thank the fans enough from all the support from the pro stock to all the support I've gotten since we've made the announcement to jump to Top Fuel. It's again very, very blessed, and you know, I can't thank them enough. And we're going to go out there and just, you know, we're having a lot of fun. Again, every run's a learning experience, so I'm enjoying it and taking it all in, and we're going to have a blast in 2015.
We're going to learn through you as well, because I don't think there could be a better person to explain what the heck that thing must be like.
And I'm still figuring that out, Jeff.
I can tell, but it's good. It's good to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And, you know, hopefully I have some more insight along the way.
I know you will. Dave, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Connolly with us here on WFO Radio, making his first runs in a Top Fuel dragster. First series of runs. He's still at the beginning of the learning curve is what I'm trying to say. And Connolly, I can't think of a more experienced racer out there who is now embarking on this new frontier. That is Top Fuel. How exciting is it to hear him talking about it? I think it is great. Thanks to Dave for coming on the show, and is going to come back as the learning curve evolves. One cool thing about WFO Radio, not that there's only one cool thing, but if you are a new listener, check out the interview archives. Go back in the archives, because you can find racers like Brittany Force, racers like Courtney Force, racers like Leah Pritchett, when they're at the start of their learning curve in Top Fuel. And they really talk about how it's different, what surprised them, how they're handling it. And I think it's cool that to go along with a certain driver, say, pick Courtney Force, for instance, and how the evolution happened. And we try to ask questions about that just in case anybody in the audience happens to get a job driving a Top Fuel car. We can reference all that we've learned on the show, myself included. I'm always thinking about that. Either the day that the Mega Lotto Powerball gets hit, and I go to one of these teams and say, yeah, I need a team to set me up for the championship run in the Mellow Yellow Series 2018, I at least will be able to refer to all of these interviews as data to go and prepare myself for mashing the gas and going 300 miles an hour. Do you believe that? What is more likely, that or the Powerball? I don't know. If I'm hinging it on the Powerball, then I don't think I got a lot to worry about. Thanks to Dave Connolly for coming on the show. We got Morgan Lucas coming up next. Also, Matt Hagen. At the tail end of the show, we're going to hear from Matt. He's going to talk about the 3954, the quickest unofficial run in funny car history, in testing right up the street from the WFO Radio studios, like up the street an hour or so. But that's going to be cool. Checking in with the champ again, Matt Hagen, on this show. I want to remind you guys, WFO Radio t-shirts on sale. Go to the WFO Radio store at WFOradio.com. We've got the Christmas ornament / bottle opener / keychain, which are actually all of a sudden flying off the shelves. There is a limited number, and once they are gone, they are gone. And they'll last a long, long time. I think beyond the end of mankind. These WFO Radio billet aluminum keychains from azbillet.com will last beyond mankind. That's how substantial they are. I like seeing them making appearances on Christmas trees year after year after year. But also the WFO Radio t-shirt, limited supply. They're available for the holidays, and it seems like everybody all of a sudden realized this is the gift we want to get for ourselves. The WFO Radio t-shirt's $20, $22 if you get double X, which there are limited, extremely limited, like, oh my goodness, we're at the very end, limited, in the extra, extra large of the WFO Radio t-shirts. But I think they're very cool, and according to the audience out there, they are well-liked as well. If you're a new listener, you want a WFO Radio t-shirt, go to the WFO Radio store, get yourself one. We'll try to get it shipped out right before the holidays. Very, very cool. We got Morgan Lucas coming up next. We're going to talk about winning the Auto Club Finals. If you've got questions for Reinhardt, you can call them in, 954-889-6796. It works just like a voicemail, anytime, day or night. And just leave your thoughts. 30 seconds to a minute is your thoughts. One of our callers, Aaron, a couple of weeks ago, talking about the whole race-fixing deal, has called back and left a long voicemail basically about it. We're going to play some of it for Reinhardt in the coming weeks. Your comments, your questions for Reinhardt, by all means, leave them on there. And I think we agreed. We came down to the conclusion that somehow it is what it is. And I do not know how to solve the problem. And the best way to handle it is to have more and more teams involved in the sport of drag racing. Get the car counts up so that the multi-car teams don't have as much power. And that's what has to happen. We need to get the car counts up. We need people involved in drag racing. We need some new blood out there. We got to make it happen. So that's all coming up on the show. And remember, 954-889-6796. Follow us on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter. You can follow me at WFO Joe. I'm on Instagram as well, posting various photographs from various places. And they're much higher quality now that I have a new phone. So enjoy that also. Time to tell you about another great WFO Radio sponsor, Redline Synthetic Oil. Folks at Redline been with WFO Radio for a long, long time. Motor oil, gear oil, they have got it all. Water wetter, one of the Redline products can certainly end up in your race car or street car. Now, you might be racing a lot, but you might be driving on the street. Efficiency and wear, both addressed by the folks at Redline. Go to redlineoil.com. That's redlineoil.com. Or if you want to purchase some, go to the Amazon store. Amazon.com, a great way to get your Redline oil. They are available on Amazon. That's Redline Synthetic Oil. You can also like them on Facebook. They've got 184,894 Facebook likes. Let's juice that one up. That's Redline Synthetic Oil. We'll be back after this with more WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or give him a call, Marvin Rodak, a big WFO Radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
And we are having another great episode of WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. And for all you fans that are in the off season wondering where can I get NHRA stuff at this time of year, you are in the right place, and hopefully we are proving the point. Now, you might be thinking, Joe, you say all the time you have all the winners on the show. Well, there's one winner that you did not have from the 2014 season, and we're going to tie up that loose end right now. He won the Auto Club Finals in Top Fuel. He joins us now. Morgan Lucas is with us. Morgan, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
I'm great, Joe, and thank you for having me on.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all that. You are the second quickest man in NHRA history. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. That's something that was a very pleasant surprise for us. And, you know, one thing I know about Aaron, he's not afraid to go for the throat, and that's exactly what he did.
Back-to-back 70s at the finals. We got to go into the Wayback Machine to talk about this race win, but you've done so many cool things since then as well. Of course, we're deep into December, getting ready for PRI. I'm going to ask you about that as well. But going out, final race, after running a limited schedule, your driver, Richie Crampton, the Auto Club Road to the Future Award winner, wins the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. You win in Brainerd. You win the finals. Seems like it was a great season for your team as well, punctuated by your finals win.
Oh, it definitely was. I've known for a long time that we've had a great team in place. It was an interesting season with me taking a step back, obviously, to kind of join in the Lucas Oil fund. And it has been a great year. I've got to watch my son grow up a lot more than I probably would have if I'd gone on the road a lot more regularly. And you know, I'm sure my wife doesn't complain about having me home a little bit more. But the times I have got to come out and race, I just really cherish it, embrace it, and then try to do the best I can behind the wheel. It's just all part of it. You know, you just look at the big picture. But this year in general, with Richie driving, with the job that he's done, the way he handles himself, the way he talks with fans, the media, the business side of it, the guy's got to figure it out. And that's so much more of it. I feel like if this was just a hobby sport for everybody, everybody would probably be cutting 50, 60 lights all the time. But it's not that way. There's a lot of pressure that comes into it. And we're just really, really fortunate and blessed to have Aaron Brooks tuning these cars and the great team, the great people that we have put together on both sides, whether it's part-time schedule team or the full-time team. We got good people that really know how to make it happen.
It was very fun to watch, and the finals with the back-to-back 70s, then going up against Tony Schumacher. Normally I like to ask, you know, what was going on behind the run, all of that. But in this case, he had already won the championship and was just looking to dominate the weekend. You were just a guy out there trying to bring home a trophy. It's kind of cool when it's really all about the race at that moment, and you guys really put on a show. The 3704 at 325 winning the day, and you hold up the Wally at the end to conclude the 2014 season. That's really purest drag racing right there.
It really is. That's the cool thing about it. We hope that it makes for good TV, but congratulations, Ace, to Tony. The guy's a great driver. He's a great ambassador for drag racing. And on top of that, his his award, his championship acceptance speech was very, very, very good. It was second to none, in fact. And that's just a sign of having good caliber drivers and know what they're doing in the sport. But Tony and I think out of anybody at the racetrack, we probably had the most clear heads just because of the fact that, you know, I wasn't racing for points. At that point, he'd already sealed it up. And you look at the crew chiefs, everybody else is kind of a chest-beating scenario there. You know, you just want to go out there and throw out a bomb. And going into the semis, we'd put the clutch out of Richie's car and our car. We had to use one of their motors just because, you know, some reason it started trying to rattle a main stub loose in one of the motors. So we just decided we're going to put their stuff in there, and we went out there and did exactly what Aaron wanted to. And that's almost a testament to the chassis that we're building in-house right now, because you can trust that when you take something out of one car, put it in another, that it's going to do what you want it to do. And, I mean, the thing went out there, it ran great. And the semi, I think, was more surprising than the final. In the final, it knocked a couple rings off of a piston. It slowed down a little bit, just about half track. And it should have ran about a 368, 369. And that would have been the thing that probably sealed it up that much better. But you know what? I had my wife, my son, my in-laws, my parents. There were a lot of people there that made that win very special.
Wow, hearing that 360 number thrown out there, that's going to be fun when that starts happening every now and again. You know, like the funny cars dipping into the threes. You know it's a big deal when you see something different on the scoreboard. That's nice to know that we're right around the corner from that, if anything else.
Yeah, to be honest, it was early in the run was noticeably different than any other run that I've made in both the semi and the final. But to see those numbers pop up, to know that you won the race, for me, again, I don't have anything to prove. I'm just out there trying to put on a show for the fans, enjoy myself, spend time with my friends and my family. Can't think of a better way to do it.
All right, let's wrap up our finals talk and talk about some serious stuff and some not so serious stuff. Let's keep with the racing in that. Okay, Morgan, you have you took the year off. The team is really excelling and clearly moving forward. Is there any desire or pull from the racing side for you to do more, or are you finding that the responsibilities that you're getting involved in at Lucas Oil require more of your time? You're being pulled in two kind of, they're not opposite directions, but I know they both would require a lot of your time. How's that all working?
Well, it's not that they're opposite directions. They overlay a little bit, but they're not linear. You know, it's not like Lucas Oil is the same kind of business atmosphere as drag racing. But at the end of the day, what's best for my future, my family's future, is being involved in Lucas Oil. And knowing that, it's not like you're just going to take a year off and all of a sudden know that you're invested in Lucas Oil and everything's going to be fine. It's a tough nut to crack. There's a lot of things to learn, more than I could probably learn in 10 years. And I don't know what the future is going to hold for my driving career, but it's not going to be me chasing a championship in 2015. I'm just, again, blessed to be doing what I'm doing. Next year, Richie will be back with us. I don't know what name exactly will be on the side of the car, but Richie's going to be out there with the team. We're going to try to do exactly what we did this year. And I got to say thank you to my father and everybody at Lucas Oil for allowing us the freedom to make that happen and conscious mind to be able to gear up for the next season. But Richie, he's turned into an extended member of the family. And just like Brandon was and Sean, and we've had some great drivers that we've raced with at our shop, out of our shop. And hopefully we can just continue on the success in this route and hopefully continue to build this guy's career, because he's got a lot of wins ahead of him.
Very likable guy, has the international flavor. We've got a lot of audience down there in Australia. We're always trying to grow it, and whenever Richie wins, that's a good thing. Now, you say you're not sure which name will be on the side of the car. Of course, I've heard that Geico is not coming back. I think they had a great run with you guys in the sport, and we see sponsors. They come for a while. They go for a while. Maybe they come back. Is that a finalized deal that they will not be back, or is that still potentially up in the air?
It's potentially up in the air. Geico has been a great partner of ours. Six seasons of just absolute unwavering commitment from them and on our side as well. They're the kind of partners that you really want to grow with. And they look at motorsports, they look at sports in general the same way the Lucas Oil does. That's what people are passionate about. And they don't want to leave the sport of drag racing, so they're looking at their options. They're looking at what they want to do with the team. They know that there's a lot to do there. So we're going to talk. We're going to see what happens there. But, you know, I know Lucas Oil has a lot to be had as far as branding on the side of the car as well. So we have a very optimistic outlook on what's going on right now, and we're obviously going to be working towards the future. We just, you know, we can't let the sport turn into some kind of a wrestling kind of scenario where there's one person that pretty much holds all the cards and all the sponsors and all the crew chiefs. The sport needs to diversify. It needs to expand. It needs to grow. And we need personalities out there like Richie that are capable of relating to people at home, that can build the demo for our sport in order to show this overall potential.
Totally agree with that. Good to hear that you guys, I know your dad is very passionate about the future of the sport, that's at the front of your mind, like what would be best to make drag racing a more successful endeavor for everybody.
Exactly. And that's really what all teams should be thinking about, because this is more than just fun. This is a business. This is livelihoods. This is mortgage payments. This is a lot of things. So you got to really look at all these scenarios when you're looking at the future of your own program. And it's kind of what really helped put this deal in motion to know for sure, without a doubt, we're going to run in 2015, because my dad, he's a good person. He's a good man. He cares about the people involved in the team, and he wants to see them succeed. He also wants to know that they all have jobs. All these people have been with us so long that, again, we're like a big family, and that's how we want to keep going.
And that stability enables you to – it's got to be gut-wrenching when you look at your guys and you have to tell them, hey, we're not doing it next year. Like, that's part of the sport that I don't think anybody really – nobody really wants to talk about it, but I know it happens, and it's got to be tough for the people making that decision and having that conversation. It cannot be easy.
No, I've been in that situation. And to not have Brandon racing with us last year was tough. All those guys that were around there, it's tough. And it's part of it, though. You know, it's part of the business, but we're all still friends. We all still care about each other, and it's just part of it. But, you know, sometimes you just have to make those tough decisions, and I'm glad that at the end of the day, I'm not the guy that has to stand alone making those decisions. It's definitely a committee.
Absolutely, and I understand. Obviously, that's a little bit of a negative side of the sport. Let's talk about some of the positive things other than winning. I understand you recently got an opportunity to fly with the Thunderbirds. What was that like? And give me some comparisons. We know that you're already driving one of the most, the quickest accelerating machines on Earth. How did your time in a fighter jet compare?
I can't think of anything that really compared to that truth in that jet. I got to fly with who is now a semi-retired pilot, Michael Fisher, Major Michael Fisher. He's a great man and did a very good job explaining the whole process, really. And I went through the whole arsenal, as far as probably nowhere near what they go through before the first time they get in the jet is, but they talk to you about things, because this isn't a lateral, or it's not like a G where you're pulling in the direction where it's straight on. This is, I'm talking moving, contorting your body, moving the blood in your body anywhere and everywhere from where it should be. And it's by far the most intense adrenaline rush I've ever had. And maybe that's because I'm used to driving a top fuel car, but I'll tell you what, right now, that would probably be the craziest thing I've ever done. And so blessed to have that opportunity, because the training, the amount of work that they do, it's awesome. And to be able to do what they do and to handle a plane the way they handle it, and to be so accurate and precise about everything that they do, it's phenomenal. And it's a credit to our military and to the Air Force for everything they've been able to do as far as progression and making the overall aspects of what they're capable of doing better. I feel safer after flying in this jet, to be completely honest. because if these guys can handle this and they can fly it this way, that means they're pretty switched on fighters too. And it's special. Even the guys on the ground team, everybody, they're a big team. It's a big family. And that is something I could relate to drag racing, is because everybody puts in their and does their part to make everything happen. And I think if somebody's looking to enlist, they should definitely take a look at the Air Force, because I think there's a lot to be had there.
Very cool. I agree. I think it's one of those situations where, you know, there's always the talk about race car drivers, are they athletes, that kind of thing. And the athlete is always put up there as like the top of the pyramid. And I always think about the fighter pilot. I think about that guy. And I think that whatever he is, I think is the top of the pyramid, because of all that's on the line, the level of critical situation. It is not a game. It is for much greater stakes. And they have to be so precise, on point, at such speeds, controlling their body in ways that people can only dream. It's very cool that you got that experience.
Oh, yeah. I can't even do it justice. I can't. It is that crazy. What you see, if you're watching YouTube videos or anything like that, this is... It doesn't even scratch the surface of how intense this whole experience was.
Awesome stuff. What about PRI in your hometown this weekend? Those of us in Florida are still like, oh man, cold. But but it's in the hood for you guys. Are you going to be heading out there, and what are you hoping to accomplish?
Well, realistically, for us at Lucas Oil, we have a new racing line of the new formulated products, stuff that we've learned from working with Richard Childress and our technology partnership that we have with him. We've learned a lot of great things. We've been able to apply it to our products, and we feel like we got something that nobody else has, and it's something special that can really benefit racers that are trying to get more horsepower, also with adding protection. So we're going to debut a little bit of that there to the racing community, and we're also going to be just informing people what our racing series are up to and what the next season's looking like. And it's a racing trade show. I don't know if we're going to be in there selling truckloads of oil, but I can promise you that we're going to be in there trying to tell everybody and spread the gospel of Lucas Oil products.
Speaking of spreading the gospel, someone who uses that term, John Force, has joined up with you guys for 2015. Tell me about how that deal came together. Clearly, John, an icon in drag racing, Lucas Oil, sponsoring so many different aspects of the sport, from the entire Lucas Oil series to other series. Talk about working with John in 2015.
Well, John Force he's John Force. He's probably, I would say, you know, he's part of that 1% of top shelf faces and names in motorsports in general. And it would be an absolute shame to lose him in drag racing. And it's motorsports in general right now needs people like him. And for us at Lucas Oil, we've established a good relationship with John over the years. It's drag racing. Just because Castrol's on the side of the car doesn't mean that we can't be friends. And that's led to this relationship, this opportunity to be able to brand ourselves with John, and hopefully that opens up a lot of doors for business for us, and hopefully that can help grow the relationship that we have with him.
Sounds great, and it looks like a great example for people out there. I agree. The sport is, everybody's in the same place 24 weekends a year, and even more, actually, and all with the same goal. Competition is one thing, but business is another. Morgan, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. We greatly appreciate it. Congratulations on winning off 2014. A huge victory at the Auto Club Finals. Great runs down the racetrack, and we are looking forward to seeing you as often as possible in 2015.
All right. That sounds great, Joe. Thank you.
Morgan Lucas with us here on WFO Radio, winner at the Auto Club Finals, and we might not get him right after the race, but we will eventually track him down. Great to have Morgan on the show, and a lot to talk about. Richie Crampton, the Auto Club Road to the Future, winning the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Just a huge, huge deal worldwide. And I mentioned it, we want more listeners down under in Australia and, of course, in Canada and the U.K. and everywhere. We want more listeners here in the United States. We are barely cresting. We're barely getting to the point where masses know the existence of WFO Radio. You got to think about it. How many people listen to talk shows about NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. How many drag racing fans use their smartphones? It's like growing numbers, rapidly growing. People trading in their old brick phones and their flip phones and their razor phones for smartphones. And do they know that just one app away they can listen to all this stuff? Maybe, maybe not. That's why we share the show. We go out of our way to make sure that the audience knows that you are the way new people find out about the show, through social media. It is built upon that. It is content for NHRA fans. And the best thing that we do, the most we can do, is put together great shows. Like, we try to make every show as great as possible. Inevitably, some are going to be better than others. It's just the way it works. But we put in 100% effort. We're thinking about you, all the behind-the-scenes people like Giovanni in Miami and Patrick the Webmaster, who is fighting off DNS attacks from far-off communist places, doing our best. And one final exclamation point on that note for this show. Joining us now from West Palm Beach, Florida, following the quickest run in funny car history, unofficial, he is the 2014 NHRA Mellow Yellow Funny Car Champion. Matt Hagen joins us now to talk about it, talk about last second. Matt, welcome back to WFO Radio.
Hey, Joe, thanks for having me on the show, man. It's awesome. I mean, you know, the weather was great in West Palm, and we got down there, had a great time, and obviously finished it with a bang, man. I mean, to put that kind of number up on the scoreboard, it was phenomenal. I mean, in the car to run 277 in the middle, man alive, I just can't begin to tell you how that feels. It's digging the whole way.
I can imagine. It's cool to hear you talk about being able to feel the difference between literally 2 or 3 hundredths of a second.
Yeah, you really can. I tell you, it's kind of incredible. Your mind slows everything down for you there, and you know, you're processing that after you've had a few laps. But when it's up on the tire and it's running and it's really big, and especially through the middle when the clutch comes 1-to-1, you can really, really tell the difference in these race cars when they're tuned up and really up on the tire and really digging out there. And you can hear it in the motor as well. So it's just a crazy, crazy deal to go up there. And then they came over the radio and told me that what it ran, and I couldn't believe it. I said, no way, you know. I mean, obviously it's unofficial, but it's really cool. I mean, because we're at weight and trying some new things, and it was a neat deal to for all of our guys. I mean, our guys were up there, you know, jumping up and down and screaming and stuff. So, I mean, it was a neat way to finish up the test session.
878 to the 60-foot, 227, 2 to 330, 3202 to the 8th at 277.83, and the final number, 3954 at 323.97. That is just massive. Now, this is with the classic body, the old-school body. How did you like running the new body?
I love the new body, honestly. I wish we could have ran it. We had a few issues with some strut stuff. We got to put some stronger tree in it, but the body itself is great. You know, the visibility, just everything that Mopar has done to come out with this 2015 body is going to be just awesome. I mean, as far as being able to see the tree, the starting line, you know, the groove, everything, and especially at nighttime, you know, I mean, we made this killer run with our old body, and it's really tough to see the groove out there, you know, so especially when you're going that fast. So I think a lot of that will come into play next year, being able to make some really great runs and know that you're on top of it and you're not behind the race car. It'll really help having that visibility that this 15 body's going to, you know, bring to the table.
From what I understand, you guys did not seat the clutch. You were kind of in a hurry-up mode on this run.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the end of seating the clutch for everybody?
Well, I don't know. I tell you, it's definitely something that Dickie's going to probably think about. But, yeah, we went up there and we smoked the tires around before that. Just had a little bit too much primary on it. And we came back and, you know, we only had till 6 o'clock. And, you know, the rescue squad and all those folks were leaving, and we only had the track to them. So it was like, we had 30 minutes to get the car turned around, and you know how long it takes to usually turn one of these fuel cars around. So he said, let's just throw a clutch in it, you know, run the valves and you know, let's take it back up there and see what it'll do. And sure enough, you know, Alex, our clutch guy, he threw a new clutch in it, you know, rolled up there. And you know, I said, man, you know, just the only thing we're going to do is do a burnout in this thing. And it's never, you know, since it never warmed it up, never tried anything. And I kind of looked at Dickie, and he's like, is it cool to take it to the end? And he's like, yeah, man, as long as it feels good and sounds good, he said, take it to the end. So, sure enough, it was feeling good and sounding good on that lap. And, it was a handful, though. I mean, out there on the big end, you know, it was trying to make some moves towards the center line, just trying to keep it in the groove and lined up. But it was just an awesome run. I mean, something that obviously, you know, I'll remember for a very, very long time.
Well, that is cool. Well, I'm actually hoping that something happens in the next test session to erase this from your mind. So that means you're going even quicker is what it means. Now, Matt, when we had you on about the title a couple of weeks ago, I actually forgot to do something that I want to do now for you. One of our great sponsors, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. He's a big drag racing fan from Fort Worth, Texas, been a sponsor on WFO Radio, makes his own blends of coffee and hot sauce stuff. He put together this WFO Radio blend of coffee, and he's for winning the championship, he'd like to send you a bag of coffee, some hot sauce, and some spice rub, courtesy of RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, to salute your 2014 Mellow Yellow Championship.
The guy awesome.
I figured you'd probably be into one of those three things.
Oh, yeah, no, that's great. I mean, first being a champ, man, I didn't get no better. So now I said thank you, and I will definitely enjoy the product, and you know, if you like it, we'll buy some more of it, you know what I mean? So it's a good deal, and I'm always into some coffee, man, you know, getting that adrenaline up and get going, so I'll save it for the test session in January.
I will be there for that test session, and I am very much looking forward to seeing everybody down in my part of town. Now, you're headed back north, Matt. You had a pretty nice couple days down here.
Yeah, you know, it's been great here in West Palm. I mean, obviously, I hate to leave, but we got to get back home. I'm leaving for a deer hunt in Iowa here in a couple of days. Going to sit in a tree and freeze to death for a week, and then hopefully thaw out and come back down here and test some more. But you know, you got to get back and get a couple of things done, and then you know, have a little fun before the season kicks back off again.
No PRI for you?
No PRI for me, man. You know, just I got a couple little weeks here before we get going, and you know, just for now, the SEMA show and all that other stuff. That's kind of where our sponsors wanted me to be at, and you know, so it ends up being I get to, you know, climb up a tree and hang on at 30 feet and hopefully get something, bring some meat home, you know.
Very good. And I see Matt Hagen Outdoors has moved locations. You guys are already in a bigger place.
Yeah, Matt Hagen Outdoors is just, it's slamming right now. It's been great, especially, you know, with this holiday season. And the location has just been key. I mean, where we're at right now, there's a lot of more traffic. Before we were kind of up on a hill and hidden, and now we got the store right out in front, you know, right beside of a Walmart and everything else. So lots of traffic and lots of folks out there buying stuff and boots and everything else, you know, lots of Rocky products.
Excellent. Well, Matt, thank you very much for coming on the show. Very, very short notice. But this is, it's the first time we've seen that number on the scoreboard anywhere. So I'm glad you were able to put it up there. And don't hang up once I say goodbye. I need to get your address for that Rodax coffee. But thank you for coming on the show and safe travels.
Joe, thanks for having me on the show, man. I'll definitely hang on and get you there. I don't want to miss out on that coffee. But thanks, man. And hopefully, you know, this next test session will be just as productive.
I hope so, too. There he goes, Matt Hagen, with us here on WFO Radio, last second edition to WFO Radio, and that's how it happens, and another show is in the books. I like it. I got to say, Fast Jack Beckman, new crew chiefs, big moves happening. Dave Connolly, testing at PBIR. Matt Hagen jumps in after the quickest funny car run in history, unofficial. That is tremendous. And, of course, Morgan Lucas, Auto Club Finals winner. Thanks to everyone who helped us put it together. And all you listeners, listen, the season ended a couple of weeks ago. The racing on track is over, and I think you've noticed that a lot of the coverage, not all, a lot of the coverage has kind of gone on vacation, but that's not what happens here on WFO Radio. And I have found over the past couple of years, we keep everyone connected and together and talking about it and thinking about it. And in January, it pays dividends because people have stayed connected. Yeah, maybe some people check back every once in a while or don't listen quite as religiously as they do during the season, but others, they get more active. Our Ignition show takes off during the off season because we entertain all kinds of different subject matter, whether it be computer technology or drones or whatever happens to be current, as well as NASCAR and Formula One racing technology and the stories of the day. We appreciate you as listeners. We're always trying to grow the audience. You can gift apps to each other. The app is absolutely free for iPhone and Android, iPad, tablets. You can listen many ways, through Stitcher, through TuneIn, through iTunes. You can sit in front of your computer, as you know. If you make it to this point in the show, you know this is where I usually go on a little bit of a rant. Just got word from Marvin Rodak. People are buying the WFO Radio Holiday Pack for their friends and their loved ones as a gift. The people at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, what a great program. Redline Synthetic Oil. These are the people who make this show possible. Believe me, when I say we could stop WFO Radio from one day to the next if the sponsorship was not there. If it was not there. Of course, it is a labor of love, but it also requires a lot of time and effort. And so we greatly appreciate you patronizing the sponsors, you buying a WFO Radio t-shirt or a WFO Radio Christmas ornament / bottle opener / keychain. Check out the WFO Radio store. More and more stuff is going to be up there. That's how the show gets done. And we appreciate you listening each week, whether you're in a cubicle or you're driving a truck. And that's something I really want to know. We're going to put out a survey, basically a market research survey for the WFO Radio audience. Like, questions I want to know. Like, are you an NHRA member? That's a good question. Do you have a hobby car? That's a good question. Like, do you have a car, whether it be a road car or a street car or a drag car, that you work on, that you buy stuff for? That's a good question. Like, what age are you? Like, where are you when you listen? Are you a woman and you listen to the show? These are questions. We're going to put out a survey at some point, and we would love for you to answer those questions because it's very helpful to us as we tailor the show to our audience. One big news story that I didn't mention on this show, but I want to, but I kind of feel like it's their private lives, but, well, you know, you got to talk about it. Courtney Force and Graham Rahal engaged to be married. Congratulations, Courtney and Graham. Racing's number one power couple, without a doubt. Bigger than Danica and Ricky Stenhouse, because, well, they just are. I think it's great. Here's what I have to say about Courtney. You can go back into our archive hundreds of times, literally, and hear virtually Courtney's full career on WFO Radio through interviews. And it has been nice watching her go from a rookie to a real threat to a championship threat. She is about as nice a person as it gets, just away from the driver persona. And I've had interaction with her now for a couple of years, and I have just the most positive things to say about Courtney Force. Graham Rahal, same thing. I have had many interactions with Graham over the years through racing, but also through the satellite radio and things away from the track or PR and media events. Super great guy. Like, really willing to do what it takes to try to advance the ball for himself, but for the sport. Good attitude. Nice person. Then they end up dating. And now they end up engaged. How cool is that? That's really what it's all about. I wish them all the best. I really do. And such a nice thing at the holiday season. We're going to have to get them on the show, right? Talk about the cake and all the stresses and, you know, Bridezilla. Is that going to happen? Of course it's not going to happen. But it's something to think about. Is there a reality show there? Oh, boy. I just put it out on the table. I think there very much is some sort of reality show there. Graham and Courtney getting married. Racing's power couple. Number one power couple. It's not something we often entertain, but I think this is the first big racing celebrity cross-series marriage that I can think of. Can you think of one? Let me know. That's going to do it. Big thanks to Fast Jack Beckman. Great interview by Jack. Looking forward to seeing what they do down in January at testing. Big thanks to Dave Connolly. While testing comes on the show. Big thanks to Morgan Lucas and Matt Hagen. He is like just left the test on his way to the airport, comes on WFO Radio. Greatly appreciated. All our sponsors, Redline Synthetic Oil, Marvin Rodak, RodaksCoffeeandGrills.com, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, and all of you listeners, greatly appreciated. Check out the WFO Radio website. Check out the archive. And always share. Share the show. Of course, we've got an email that goes out on Wednesday. Share everything you can, because that's the way you get to use it. Thank you so much, and we're going to see you next week. But we got Ignition. Don't forget the Ignition Show. What's it going to be about? I don't know. I have no idea. But that's what makes the Ignition Show great, because it could be about just about anything. And there'll be some NASCAR news as well. We got to talk about the NASCAR Awards Banquet. Pretty good. Pretty much what I expected. And the off-season. That's not so off. PRI, to all our great friends on their way to PRI. Thank you so much for all you do in the sport of drag racing. Enjoy the trade show. I'm Joe Costello. Thanks to Alan Reinhart as well. He's back and bigger and better than ever. Send the question for Alan Reinhart, 954-889-6796. We'll get rolling again next week. That's going to do it. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.
That was terrible!
Horrendous!
I'm offended!
I'm appalled!
So what are we going to do?
What else?
Email it to everybody we know!
Good idea.